Do you believe we will be held accountable for every careless word we utter? You better believe it. It's one of the shocking claims of Jesus that we're exploring in this series. Power of Speech, this time on Crossing the Goal. It's the kickoff of our show on Power of Speech with the Crossing the Goal team. From Renewal Ministries, the Vice President, Peter Herbeck, the founder and president of Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin, and our coach, former NFL coach and All-Pro wide receiver, Danny Abramowitz. And Curtis, let's look at our mouth in terms of our heart.
Brian, I think it's really important. What we're seeing in the scriptures is the truth that the mouth is a window to our, let me rephrase it, not to our, but my mouth is a window into my heart. And so what I say is a reflection of what's going on inside of me. And that's why Jesus is so concerned about it.
Yeah. And you go to James 3 and start with 9 and 10. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and curse. And if you think out here in life, there's two statements we can make. I love you, I hate you. Both come from the same source, from the tongue. So, and comes from where?
The heart.
The heart. Yep. I think one of the things that's on our heart about this series is that as together all of us listen to the words of Jesus, a virtue would grow in us, a grace called the fear of the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord, Scripture says, is the beginning of wisdom. I want to talk a little bit about that more over there at the game plan, but it's important for all of us to have the wisdom to know how to live well.
So, the power of speech is a great power and is one that needs to be harnessed, and we need a game plan for that. Curtis and Peter have that for us next on Crossing the Goal.
Hello, I'm Curtis Martin, and I'm here with Peter Herbeck, and we are continuing to discuss shocking statements from Jesus. And I think I want to just go to the passage that we're referring to in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Jesus says this, "And I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for in the day of judgment." And I, seriously, this is shocking. This actually freaks me out in a huge way.
Yeah.
Because there have been a whole lot of careless words that have come out of this mouth.
Yeah.
And so I sit back, Peter, and I listen to the Lord, and I'm thinking, He looks at me and my life and my actions radically differently than I do.
Yeah.
And so I need to change my attitude. How is our attitude supposed to change in light of this and other teachings like this?
That's related to what I was saying there at the kickoff, and the fear of the Lord is an important piece. You know, there's a balance between, we've talked in this program about the grace and mercy of God. We talked about the first few weeks that mercy flows from the heart of God in this kingdom that we're talking about. And out of the lordship of Jesus Christ, He brings the mercy of the Father. But that gets balanced also with judgment and the reality that the Lord wants us to be really clear and sober and be awake about the fact that we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of God. So don't be careless, is what Scripture says. Be careful, don't be careless. But how many careless words come out of our mouth? I was just thinking of this passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You get a perspective of how often the apostles related to the judgment day. And what that knowledge of appearing before the judgment seat of the Lord and who the Lord is, it produced in them, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, a proper fear of the Lord. Not like a cowardly, slavish fear, but the serious, confident fear of a son of God, knowing who I'm dealing with or who's dealing with me here.
Right.
So here's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul says, we make it our aim now to please the Lord. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive good or evil according to what he's done in the body. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men in this case, or we do the will of God, because we're living in the fear of the Lord, which gives us the wisdom on how to live right.
And the wisdom of the church is that we ought to spend a little bit of time on a daily basis thinking about that judgment.
Yeah.
That, I mean, we could sit back and say, well, the great days in my life, the day that I married my wife and the days that my children were born, and those are all great days. I promise you that everyone will agree on the judgment day, that'll be the most significant of every person's life. Yeah. It's all in the balances. We know we're heading there if we know Jesus, and we don't think about it. And we should just be reminded. We don't have to be preoccupied. In fact, that's not healthy.
Right.
But to be recollected that we are going to be standing before Him, rendering account for what? Our entire life, including the careless words that have slipped out of our mouth. Knowing that, live differently.
Yeah.
Seek God's grace to live differently.
Look how common it is for us to be careless with our speech. Turn on the television, go to a movie, go to a concert, watch a coach on a sideline of a football, you name it. I mean, it's so, we've lowered the bar so low, and we have all kinds of rationalizations why it's really not a big deal. You know, it's not that big of a deal. Plus, I didn't mean it anyway or something. And Jesus doesn't look at it that way because we're made in His image and likeness. He's given us a mind. He's given us a heart, given us a capacity to speak. And as you said, something really important, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
And we were talking about St. Francis of Assisi last night. We were sitting back and saying, this just haunts me.
Yeah.
St. Francis walking down the street with a couple of his brothers right when they're getting started, and some guys come up and they start mocking the early Franciscans and St. Francis. And St. Francis is charitable and only charitable to them. And they finally pass along, and his brothers say, why didn't you respond with anger? And St. Francis said, I can only give what I have. And, you know, if my heart is filled with charity and joy, that's all that I have to give.
Yeah.
And I think what a testimony that is. And how do I know I've got crud? Well, for me, put me on a basketball court and give me a rough foul, or put me on the road and behind somebody who's not driving thoughtfully.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I can just there's just stuff in my heart that comes going up, and it's frightening.
Yeah.
And so but in some ways, it's a good thing, because you can sit back and say, Lord, more evidence. Yeah. I need your help.
And it's important for us to be able to say, okay, that's the condition of my heart. That corresponds directly to the diagnosis that Jesus gave of my heart. And He wants me, under the grace of the Spirit, to begin to exercise control and not give it what it wants. The flesh wants to just say, you're a louse, you're no good, it's your fault, get off the road and do. But Jesus is saying, learn to subdue those drives in the grace of the Holy Spirit. Close your mouth. You're my son. I want you to learn how to bless and not curse. This is where I'm taking it. It's part of the perfection. It's part about living under the lordship of Jesus. And it's hard for guys to surrender this tongue, because we want to be able to say what we want to say. And Jesus says, you don't understand how powerful it is. That little tongue can set a little flame, sets a whole forest ablaze. And many of us have set a lot of pain loose in people's lives because of the way we've spoken and the way we fail to control our tongues.
And as we look at this and we see the reality of our heart, we should hear the words of the Mass. We say, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof.
Yeah.
But only say the word and my soul will be healed. The beautiful thing there is, A, we're not worthy, but what's beautiful is He's willing to come in under our roof and heal us. And we should turn to Him with great confidence and recognize, even though my heart isn't what it needs to be today, Lord, you and you alone can heal it. Brian?
Thanks, Curtis. Peter, great game plan for the power speech coach. I guess we better make every word count down there in the red zone.
You're exactly right. All I know is what goes around comes around.
Well, let's get on down to the red zone next on Crossing the Goal. We're mixing it up in the red zone on Crossing the Goal. And as we talk about our power of speech, it's really important to look at the Word of God, the Word of our Lord. And Peter, what does it feel like when Jesus speaks to us?
You know, some of these things that we've been looking at really can, they do provoke a kind of shock, in this shock to the system, because, you know, Jesus speaks the truth. And He doesn't waste words. There's no careless words that come from Him. And these teachings, the things He said, they're meant to reorder us to reality. And I say, wow, I need some serious reordering in my life, you know. And Lord, help me, you know, to cry out to Him, because He's serious about it, you know.
And you brought up some in the game plan about, wow, there's some things that if I look back, let's do that. Let's, all of us, I think, all you guys out there too, we said some things that it would have been better off if we would have clammed up and not said it. Right. Let's go through
way
some
too
of
many.
These. Gossip about a person, that person's near and overhears what we said.
You know, check.
Boom.
Oh.
Check, yeah. Correct the person in front of his peers, embarrass the person when it would have been better off handling it privately.
Did that just recently.
Check. Yeah. Made a statement without all the facts. How many times have we done that?
Check.
Yeah, me too. Cursed a person, or even worse, cursed God. That's what, man, made a racial slur to someone. Dirty jokes. I mean, the Lord's name in vain. Here's one, the son and grandson. You've done a good job, but you could have done better. You disappointed me.
That
just
hurts.
Crushing. Crushes. And then flat out told a lie, or I swear to this. You know, knowing we're lying, we just flat out lie. So these are just some of the things that I
will be held accountable for.
Yeah.
And it's highlighted as men because we don't believe this about ourselves, but it's actually fundamentally true as sons and brothers, yes, but as fathers, the weight of our words are exponentially greater.
Yes.
Particularly when we're wounding. And something that a father could say in passing without even really thinking, a son or a daughter could be carrying around as a wound decades later.
No doubt.
And we have to recognize that God knows this. He loves us. He's actually helping us to learn how to love the people in our lives. Mm-hmm. But we as men have kind of allowed ourselves to say, well, we're just out having fun. No. We throw elbows and don't realize it and are wounding the people in our lives.
But the opposite is true, too. When we use words that edify, when we lift up, especially our children, they don't forget that. I have grown daughters, and they remind me from time to time of something that I said to them or some way that I encouraged them that I've totally forgotten about, but it stayed with them.
Yeah, you know, I had a very good father, but he had limitations and weaknesses just like I do and you do. And he went home to the Lord in 1997, but I'm 54 now, and just a few years ago, I was just struggling with some things in my life, and I was just before the Lord and praying, and all of a sudden this voice came up inside me, a phrase that my dad said something to me moons ago, many moons ago, that was just hurtful. And it was something I would never thought was an issue. Like I'm so beyond those things, I'm moving on in life, but it actually still had a hold inside me, and I heard it like a tape in my head, and I heard it. And I actually started weeping when I heard it. It was that sensitive and that real inside. And I just felt like the Lord had just come close and said, hey, I just want you to know, I know that's in there. I just came today because I want to take it out. I just want you to know it is there and I want to heal it. I want to bring it. You know what I'm saying? And so I said, and I even forgave my dad. You know, I was sitting there in my living room all by myself. You know, he's in glory already, you know. But I just spoke. I said, Dad, I forgive you for that. It's kind of stuck in me and I love you and I'm ready to move on. You know what I mean? So.
And that's part of the reason for this series, to look at these shocking statements of Jesus, because in this particular case, we're talking about words, thoughtless, careless words.
Yeah.
And frequently after I've said them, and I've said them far too often, I find myself asking a simple question. What were you thinking?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wasn't thinking, that's the whole problem. Yeah. But it's true for all of these issues, as we look at the shocking statements of Jesus, he actually has thought this through really clearly, and we haven't. And he's trying to say, guys, I see this really, really clearly. I am the truth. I'm calling you to live in the truth. Think about this, and you'll get better. Allow my grace to heal you, and you'll get better. This process of all of us leaning on him so that we can receive all
that's
of
good.
Him.
That's good. Yeah.
Another
you used a powerful analogy, and we're talking about how the tongue can be used to hurt and to help. And you talked about a scalpel. Could be a terrible weapon, but in the right hands?
No, absolutely. You look at a scalpel and you say, it's meant to be a surgical tool to heal something.
That's right.
But it can be turned to be a weapon. And so you have to ask, when I'm using this scalpel, what am I trying to fix? I think coaches could ask this question, because sometimes we as coaches will yell and stuff like that. Are you venting frustration?
Right.
That's a misuse of a scalpel. Or are you coaching somebody? There's times a raised voice can be very, very helpful, but I have to be real intentional. What am I trying to fix right now? And if I'm not trying to fix something, then I should probably just shut up.
Yeah. I'd like to get back to the coach thing a little bit later, maybe finish with that.
Yeah.
But I want to talk one that I think is very critical, and I see it, and I know you guys see it, is how a husband treats his wife
yeah.
and the mother of the children. When you downgrade them, especially in front of the children, and they see that, all of us probably experience some sort of incident in their life, maybe that happened, that really not only is it damaging to the wife, but what did especially the boys learn from that? Is that how you're supposed to treat your wife and your mother? I mean, I don't think so. Whereas on the other hand, when a guy says, I love you, honey, in front of her, gives his wife a kiss, or honey, I appreciate you, and the kids see that, they mm-hmm. sort of put a big a smile on their face.
Yeah. And to take that one step further, when guys get together, there's often this temptation to joke about and kid about their spouses and
right.
say some pretty nasty things.
Right.
Yeah.
All in fun. But that has that infects
yeah.
the conversation, the marriage.
Whenever those guys do that, I said, guys, have you looked in the mirror lately at yourself? I mean, you ain't no trip to Hollywood. I can't tell you that now.
Yeah.
No, and the positive side there, because I've talked to many men in it who have had that wound of a father who's been critical or verbally abusive to the mom. And I can say in my own life, I have no recollection of my father ever disrespecting my mom. And I hope that's laid a foundation where I have also not
yeah.
had the habit of disrespecting Michael Ann. I could always do a better job of honoring her more, but I think the wound that causes, it just kind of ripples through the generations. You set a bad example, and all of a sudden the next generation's inclined to follow that example. And
yeah.
we can break that in Christ and set families into
that's
a
really good. You know, Danny, I think we talked yesterday a little bit about the show, and
yeah.
for some reason in a man's world of coaching and sports and all, it's like somehow it's okay to let things fly and say what you're going to yeah. say. And I think, you know.
Yeah, Peter, you're right. I mean, I see some coaches, I've been around the NFL and all that kind of stuff, and the language sometimes gets way overboard. There's a friend of mine, a very successful high school coach. He does a lot, I mean, on and off the field for the players and stuff like that, but his language, it takes away from all the stuff that he does. And I went to him one time, I said, you really don't need to do it. You can get by. He said, I know. He said, I try to do it. I said, take a little bit of time and try to catch yourself. Just hold a second and try to improve on it, because it takes away a lot. Same with NFL, that we think that we have to curse. I think sometimes coaches out there, it just comes out. But you have to understand your influence, especially at the high school level and the smaller, even elementary school, the impact that you have on these kids, it's very devastating. They're going to learn from you.
Plus, we have to remember, you know, just because it's football or the military or whatever it is or a bar, these are not free speech zones from the kingdom's
exactly.
point of view. The
right.
Lord's saying every careless word that comes out of your mouth. And he
right.
wants all of us everywhere to be conscious of that, because he wants a coach to bring the reign of God
yeah.
to a field, a soldier to bring the reign of God to the area where
absolutely.
He's at, you know, the peace and the protection of the Lord.
And
so.
Coaches, you know, are big on conditioning. We can condition
right.
ourselves to speak differently. If it comes naturally, we can work on it and condition ourselves.
Brian,
to
you're
change.
Right. Which you just got to hold just a second. If you can hold a second, because you want to blurt it out
yeah.
sometimes.
Yep. You let it go. Yeah.
Let it go, and
yeah.
then you wish, why did I do that?
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of words, we're going to get the last word on the power of speech in the end zone and our email bag next here on Crossing the Goal. We have crossed the goal into the end zone on Crossing the Goal. This time we're talking about the power of speech, and we'll get the last word from our Crossing the Goal team members. The coach mentioned in the red zone about the military and how that culture sometimes, some of the speech that is used is, you know, guys get together. We just got a beautiful email from Michael West, who says, I'm a first sergeant in the United States Army. I saw the show the other day on AFN. I believe this is the best show I've seen in my life. I've spent 22 years in the military and appreciate to see men talk about their relationship with God. He continues, I want to be an honorable man for myself and my family. I want to change my life. Thank you for your inspiration. Please contact me. I am ready to change my life.
Wow. Powerful.
Praise God. That's good.
Chills. You know, you never know who you reach out here. And we think about the military all the time. And you know what we like to do, I think, guys, right now? Yeah. Let's just pray for all you military guys out there and women and in the armed forces. Let's just, everyone just bow their heads and say, in the name of the Father, Son,
Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord God, we just thank you for all these people out here serving this wonderful nation and also being warriors for you, Lord, representing you out here. Lord, let those men and women take you out into the battlefield in word and speech and action and love also. It seems crazy, but you want us to do these things. I know it's a crazy thing with war, but it happens. But how we handle it is a different story. Lord, we thank you for these men and women and all that they do. We ask you to bless them and bless their families who wait anxiously for their return. And we ask all this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. And thank you for watching on the American Forces Network. If you'd like to send us an email, we might be able to read it here. We'd love to hear from you. And the power of speech certainly well used in prayer as we look at the power of speech, starting with Peter.
Thank you, Brian. Friends, as you take in the word, the theme for this week on speech, I want you to remember two things. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus didn't give us this to condemn us. He's in our corner. He wants to help us. Number two, if you're discouraged about your weakness in there, remember this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Because we've been given a gift of the Spirit, and as you learn to yield more to the Holy Spirit will lead you to ever greater degrees of freedom in this area.
And Jesus is calling us to live with Him and to live like Him. And Jesus says something amazing about Himself when He's on trial. Standing before Pontius Pilate, He says, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth." Jesus is calling us to live in the truth, to bear witness to that with our lives so that we can stand with Him, so that on the judgment day, He will see Himself reflected in our very lives.
This is for fathers and grandfathers out here. I want you to just reflect and think about this. How powerful your speech is, impact on your children and grandchildren. So what I really like you to do is focus the next week or so to have positive influence, positive attitude, a positive speech to these young people, and watch how they blossom.
Yeah, let's use our words to lift up rather than tear down.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Coach, Curtis, and Peter. And next time we're going to talk about watching. Jesus asked His apostles in the garden, "Can you not watch an hour with me?" He also says, "Watch, because you never know the day of the hour." So next time on Crossing the Goal, watch. We'll see you then.